Welcome to Educator Forever, where we empower teachers to innovate education. Join us each week to hear stories of teachers expanding their impact beyond the classroom and explore ways to reimagine teaching and learning.
Lisa Vodala is the founder of Preschool Readers. She works with her team of preschool reading specialists to provide children ages 3 to 5 with an academic head start through their proprietary award-winning accelerated reading instruction, which they deliver in person and virtually. Enhanced by their exclusive framework, the CLEAR approach, a framework for differentiated instruction, Preschool Readers strives to ensure each student receives effective instruction. Their mission is to go beyond knowledge. They nurture the confidence essential for future academic and personal success. Welcome, Lisa. So nice to have you here.
Hi. Thanks for having me.
So I'd love to have you start by telling us about your journey as an educator.
Oh, yes. Okay. So I never wanted to be a teacher, actually. I grew up with parents in education who absolutely loved it. But in my mind, I wanted to make more money, right? And so I'm like, I'm not going to be a teacher. And I went to school for communications. And my whole life, everybody said, you should be a teacher, though, because I guess I was so good with kids and I was always a babysitter. And so I went to school for communications. And unfortunately, that's not, it's a confusing degree because it doesn't like push you towards anything. So when I graduated, I was like, now what do I do? And I was babysitting and I started substituting on the side. And then I'm like, oh, I do like this. And that's kind of how I wound up in education. I took the alternative route.
Yes. Awesome. Yeah. And then what grade did you teach when you decided to finally bite the bullet?
Yeah. So I taught kindergarten special needs and it was so much fun. Actually, it was K-1 self-contained. So I taught K-1 self-contained. And then about 5 years in, I went back for my master's in education. So that's when I went back and got my degree in education. Before that, I got certified in special needs and pre-K to third grade. But yeah, I just, oh my gosh, loved every moment of it. And of course, I started in ESE because that's kind of where there was a high demand for teachers. And so I was just like, sure, I'll take it. And then I just stayed there the whole time. I loved it.
Yay. Yes. Yeah. You are like my people because I also taught kindergarten and first grade. Yes. And I'm like, it's the best. If I ever were to go back to teaching, I definitely would choose kindergarten.
The little ones. Yeah.
Yeah. Like, it's so funny. Yeah. Like, I just miss like their
the things
silliness.
They tell you all like the random things they tell you all day out of nowhere. Yeah.
Yes, totally. I know. I always at my kids' school, I'm always like, let me go hang out with the little ones. Like, I'll be over here.
Yeah. I know. It's so cute. And especially the ESE and special needs, it was just, they made us laugh all day. Just the things they said and the things they did, they were just so cute. So
yes, amazing. Yeah. And so now can you tell us kind of how you decided to start Preschool Readers and what Preschool Readers is?
Yeah. So when I was teaching kindergarten, I noticed that there was a big disconnect. And this is what I kind of say with Preschool Readers, between what's taught in preschool and expected in kindergarten. I'm sure you know the standards are so much higher now, right? And so I'm like, why aren't they coming knowing more? I know preschool is supposed to be play-based and it should be. Well, a lot of learning should be play-based. But I also knew they could be knowing more than they knew. And that's kind of where it started. And I thought, well, maybe I could kind of create something to get them to read quicker. And then I noticed it was working with my students. And then so on the side, I started, well, let me just say what Preschool Readers is. So at Preschool Readers, we provide in-home and virtual reading instruction to preschoolers. So when I was working with my kindergartners, I kind of developed a reading program. Like it's a systematic approach to sight word instruction. Because I'm not sure if you noticed this, but when I taught sight words, there was never a specific plan. It was, you know, anybody I talked to was like, let's just take 50 of the it was just very random. Did you notice that?
Yes. When I was teaching, it was like that too, where me and my other K-1 teacher that I collaborated with would just be like, okay, which one's this week?
Right. And then parents would be sent home like a ring of words, just memorize these by this time. And then we would introduce words. But then we'd be reading books that had like way more sight words in it than we actually have taught. So I just felt like there was no system to it. So I just simply like created a system. Like, these are the words we're teaching. These are the books that they're in. These are the worksheets, which sounds like there'd be something out there, but there really wasn't. And I haven't really seen anything since. You see a lot of workbooks, sight word workbooks and sight word stories, but not like a system like this. Mm-hmm. So I created this system and it was going really well in the class. And I thought, well, let me try this with preschoolers, because my kindergartners, being special needs, were about at the level of preschool. Mm-hmm. So I thought, well, it's working for them. Let me try it. And so while I was teaching on the side, I piloted the program. I should say that I spent a year researching and creating, a whole nother year piloting. And that changed during the pilot. And then I launched it like while I was teaching. And it took off so quickly that by the end of that year, I had to quit teaching. I had to make the decision. Stay or quit.
That's great. Yeah, that's great.
It happened so quickly. I was like, wow. But yeah.
That's amazing. And it happened so quickly and also kind of not, right? Because you did do the research and like you did create it and you did pilot it. And I'm curious about that process too, because I assume that that was key to your quick success, was doing the piloting and like trying it out in your own classroom first. Mm-hmm. So how did that work?
So when I was working with my students, I noticed it was working. I'm like, okay, so how can I make this for families? And piloting is key, or at least it was key for me, because when I first thought about this, I thought I would create something for parents to do with their kids on their own, you know, teach them reading. And then I found, and I don't know if it was my clientele or maybe it was the families I was working with, I'm like, they'd rather pay somebody to do it. And there's nothing wrong with that. If that would probably be me. So I was like, so let me change this. They probably want something that they're not doing themselves, that they can pay for somebody to come in. And so that's kind of how I changed it from my original thought to a pilot. So it turned in more to I call us preschool reading specialists, not tutors. Because tutors are really helping a child, in my opinion, who might need a little help in something, but we're actually teaching them to read. So we're calling it. So that piloting was key in the sense that it was one thing for parents. And then I was like, I think they just want us to come in and work with this student.
Work
with their children themselves. Yeah.
Yeah, I definitely relate to that. And I often say, like, I teach education business programs now to people who want to start education businesses. And this is something I stress all the time, of like, we can have amazing ideas of things we want to offer. And we're like, it's going to be like this, right? Mm-hmm. And that as soon as you can get it in front of actual people and get their feedback, it'll give you surprising sometimes and very important mm-hmm. information. And I'm really glad that you got that, right? Like, rather than going out and building something that was like amazing, but just not quite what your ideal customers wanted.
Right. And I know that there are people, like I follow people on Instagram that are selling programs to parents, and that's great. But I just felt like it just wasn't for the families that I was working with. And so, so that was key for me. Yeah, and then things changed completely. I had to like redo things and rewrite things.
I bet. Yeah. And so now, can you tell us about kind of the structure of your business? Like, do you have other people teaching with you? You said in person and online.
Yes. So when I first started, that year that I quit, I was just working myself. So I think the whole year I was working with students myself. And then I got to the point where I could slowly start hiring teachers and training them. So I was living in Tampa at the time. So I did that. And then I wanted to go home to New Jersey, where my family is, because my nieces were like just born and I was missing them. And so I went up to New Jersey and I started working again. So my teachers in Tampa were working, and then I went to New Jersey and I started the same process. I started working in New Jersey and New York City. I would drive every day to work with clients until I kind of had a base of students. And then I hired and trained teachers there. So that's kind of how it started. But then COVID hit. So we were just in home, and COVID hit, and I was really hesitant to go online, because we are so play-based and hands-on, and we do a lot of movement, and I think that's really important. And so I was kind of like really against, I'm like, how are we going to make this interactive and engaging online? But it was kind of a really fun challenge for me, because one of your questions for me was, what did I learn about myself? I love a challenge. And so I really enjoyed COVID in the sense that I had to get creative and come up with really fun ways to keep our students engaged. And that was like awesome. So now that then we added the virtual aspect and that just took off. And now we can reach kids anywhere. So, but that was really fun for me, actually. I really like the challenge of that.
I bet. Yeah. I mean, I think that's so much of a big part of being an entrepreneur. It's mm-hmm. like solving problems mm-hmm. and being a teacher, right? Like yep. there are always challenges, like endless challenges, whether right. it's figuring out how to reach one particular kid or like how to do all the things you need to do in a day. But it's like having that desire to solve the problem or, you know, figure out the puzzle, I think can be incredibly motivating. Mm-hmm. And I love to just thinking about the progression of your business and starting in person, well, starting even mm-hmm. in your classroom, mm-hmm. then piloting, then going in person in multiple locations, mm-hmm. and then going virtual. I think it's definitely possible for people who want to try something out just virtually, but I think those stepping stones probably set you up for success too, because you just knew what worked. Yeah. You had worked with actual, not that they aren't actual students on the screen, but you right. know, people in person right. and saw what yeah. worked with kids.
Yes. Yeah. And I think it kind of, I know a lot of this, I mean, being a teacher, I think, oh my gosh, we have so many skills that we don't even realize. But even when I taught special needs, you kind of have to go with the flow and like kind of make things up. You could have a runner and have to figure out how to keep them engaged. And so when COVID hit, I didn't just give up. It's like, okay, well now what do we do? But you kind of have to do that to survive in business. You can't just give up. So I feel like I got lucky that I made it through.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Yeah. I think COVID for so many people was a chance to really
do
it and try things out. And then even the after COVID of like, mm-hmm. okay, what things stay the same? What mm-hmm. changes? What goes back? What doesn't? I think it's an interesting kind of resettling also.
Yeah. Yeah. No, we're doing more and more virtual, and I'm finding as an owner, it's a lot easier. Scheduling's easier. Like, you know, there's easier and I noticed that hiring is different now. So more people, I'm sure you've noticed, want virtual work. So even hiring in-home teachers has been harder. So mm-hmm. right now it's a lot of virtual students, mostly virtual students. Yeah. Because of that, because things are just changing, you know, teachers really, where they used to want to work in home with students, now they just want to work virtually.
I mean, that mm-hmm. was part of COVID too, right? A lot mm-hmm. of teachers got a taste of what it was like to teach from yeah. home, and a lot of parents yeah. too, right? Like yeah. saw what would be possible there. Mm-hmm. And so I'm curious a little bit, starting back to when you first started your business, about how you found your first customers and how that maybe has evolved over time.
Yeah. So I was strategic. So I was in a women's league in Tampa. It was called Junior League. And it's all females and not all moms. I'm actually not a mom myself, but it was a lot of moms. And so I went to some of the women that I knew a lot of people. I said, could I pilot with you? And right. they said, of course. And then, so it really started with the piloting, because I thought if I could pilot with people that knew a lot of other moms and it went well, that they would probably tell a lot of people about it. And that's really how it started. I mean, just piloting with the right people. And I do look back and I don't know, I feel like I just got very lucky. Because I instantly had so many clients, but I think being involved in an organization like that and just networking was probably, I mean, that was just like all women. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you're familiar with the Junior League, but it's like a whole group of women. So, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Great.
That was like the best thing that I could have done. So I feel like I got lucky. I don't know.
Mm-hmm. And when you're networking and making those connections, then it is like an exponential impact sometimes mm-hmm. of like, all right, this person had a good experience and then they tell 10 other people.
Yeah.
And then it kind of spreads that way. And did anything change when you moved to working virtually and like recruiting people virtually?
Families, parents. Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's still mostly, it's always really been word of mouth. And I've actually never put money into marketing personally. I just feel like a lot of times moms are talking to each other, like, where do you send your kids to swim? Where do they go to dinner? You know, it's more like conversational. So I never really put anything into an ad. I do a lot of newsletters, but it's the same when I, actually, it's not the same. I do have more and more saying they heard about me online, which I don't know how, because I don't pay like SEO or any of that. Like, you know, I don't know if they're just Googling me, but so I am getting a little bit more like I found you online, but mostly the referrals. So that's remained the same.
Yeah. Great. And you talked about this a little bit of like realizing that you love a challenge. Mm-hmm. Is there anything else that you've learned about yourself through starting a business?
Yes, I like a challenge. I like to keep growing and moving. So like we were, you know, I was with the students and I was training teachers. Then I expanded. Then I took on interns. I have like an internship program. Now I'm doing something else on the side. Like I definitely, my personality, I like to keep growing and changing. And I actually like a challenge, which was interesting. I don't know. That surprised me with COVID. But yeah, and then also, like I said earlier, how many skills we have as teachers. Like I'm so organized and that helps. And then in the classroom, I had two parents because I was a special needs student. And so I learned how to work with other adults, not in like a do this for me, but just kind of, and I feel like that helped me with hiring. Because I have some friends that own businesses that they had a little trouble hiring people because they don't know how to ask somebody to help them with something without sounding like they're telling them what to do in a way. I don't know if that makes sense, but I felt like I gained that experience with my paraprofessionals and just so many teacher skills carry over.
That's so interesting thinking about the paraprofessionals.
Yeah,
right? I kind of learned through that too. Now that I'm just like having people in my classroom and having to like give them directions and make sure that they were effective with the kids. Yeah. Like all of that really does transfer so well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I never thought about it until a friend had mentioned that. I was like, she's like, I'm having trouble hiring. I'm like, I don't know why it's so hard. And then I thought, oh my gosh, I have experience. My paraprofessionals were older than me. So you have to learn like it was, and I was young when I started. So yeah, you learn all these skills.
Yes. And so thinking about, you know, what you've learned and kind of thinking back in time to when you first started a business, what advice would you give other educators who maybe are interested in starting something of their own?
Yes. So I would definitely do what we talked about. Start it on the side for sure. I would not give up. I know there's some things out there that are like, quit and follow your dreams. You have to be smart. And I would keep income coming in as long as you can, honestly. So and until you have to, I would keep doing teaching while you work on the side. And I was able to work the kinks out with the pilot because I can't imagine if I just quit teaching. But also keep in mind, maybe a full business isn't for you because they have those sayings like just because you know how to bake a cake doesn't mean you can like run a whole shop or like, you know, own it. So maybe you don't quit teaching, but you do something on the side. It doesn't have to be like you're a owner of something. I think that would be my advice. Is that?
I think that's great advice. Yeah. And there's so many different options, right? Like it doesn't have to be either all in, like you're saying, like, here I go, I'm quitting tomorrow, you know? And it doesn't have to, like some people don't want to start a business, but they do want to work for an innovative education company, you know, or try something new. So just learning about yourself, I think is good.
Yeah. Like what feels and if good you want to. Right. And if you, I mean, are you the type of person who wants people under you? Do you want to just do something on the side by yourself? But yeah, just figuring out who you are. I knew that I could do it, but it's not for everybody. So, you know, and that's okay. But there's other ways, like you said, to do things on the side. So yeah.
Yes.
But it's fun. It is definitely fun.
Yes. And I think in some ways it's like way more accessible thinking about it that way too, where if you're starting something on the side and you're like, kind of experimenting, you know, and you're seeing what works. And then, you know, after you do that for a while, you might get to a point just like you did.
Yeah.
Being like, all right, I got to make a choice.
Yeah.
Like, which one are we
gonna do? It's less daunting and it's less daunting and it's less like you have to know, you have to make a decision right away. And the great thing about teaching is there's always a job. Like there's we can always go back to it, you know, especially I'm in Florida and we need teachers so badly. So it's like worst case scenario.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah. A great safety net for everybody.
Yeah, it is. Yeah.
And even subbing.
Or there's tutoring. I was just going to say, or substituting. I mean, I feel like we're so lucky in that sense. So I also had that in the back of my mind. I mean, I've been doing this for over 10 years, but worst case scenario, I like to keep that in the back of my mind. I'm like, I could always go back to teaching or being a professor. I mean, there's so many things that we can do. too.
Yeah. Sure. Yeah. There's a wide world out there. So I think just like seeing all the different options and feeling out what's the best for the season of life that you're in and what you want to do.
Yeah.
Awesome. And so do you have plans for how you think your business will continue to evolve or where you see your business going?
Yes. So I'm working on my doctorate. I just finished up my first year.
Yeah, congratulations.
I have a long ways to go. Thank you. But so I'm really interested in, I created a framework for inclusive instruction. And I realized that I have the reading program, which I love, but teaching reading is not like my passion. So what I realized is the way that I teach reading is what I love, like the way I teach our program. And I'm like, okay, so I realized it's a framework. And so I've created the framework and I'm actually piloting it soon. So that's really exciting, piloting it in like a classroom setting. And the great thing about the framework is I feel like it can go further because it can be used with any grade, any subject. It's just how you approach what you're teaching. And so I'm really curious to see how the pilot goes, because I know it works one-on-one with my reading program and I know it'll work in the classroom. There's just going to be changes. Like that's what happened with my reading program, but that's kind of the next thing that I'm excited about and working towards.
That's so exciting. Yay.
I am excited. And I feel more excited about that. No, I like the reading, but I realize I like the reading because of the way we teach the reading. So yeah. I'm excited. Yeah.
It's so cool. I mean, I think the best things and the best people, you know, are constantly evolving, right? Yeah. And constantly evaluating like what has worked, what works for me right now. And so it's cool seeing you in that process, you know, having something that works and then thinking about where it's going to go next and what you really enjoy about it.
Right. And you don't have to get rid of the reading program. That can still stay there, but you can keep. Yeah. So I'm really excited, actually.
Yay. That's great. Yeah. Well, can you tell people where they can connect with you?
Yes. Just preschoolreaders.com. It's a great place to start. And then on the, you know, on the website, you can find our Facebook, Instagram, YouTube, all of that.
Wonderful. Well, thank you so much, Lisa. It was so nice to connect with you.
Thank you for having me.
Ready to find rewarding, impactful work in the education world? Take our free quiz to discover your next right career step. Will you be a curriculum developer, an education consultant, instructional coach? The list of possibilities goes on and on. Take the quiz to find out the best fit for you at educatorforever.com/quiz. You'll also receive customized resources to kickstart your dream career and life.